Freedom Show on WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carver, 103.5 on your FM dial, or live streaming at WCOMFM.org. I'm Iris here with Anna
Richards,
and our host Lori Hoyt and Miriam Thompson.
Thank you, Iris. So we're here and missing our dear friend Dick Paddock today, who went to Raleigh this afternoon with a lot of other people with 3,600 signatures to implore Governor McCrory to please expand Medicaid and to and also to talk about single-payer health insurance. So and the Raging Grannies sang them off in the freezing cold, so it was very inspiring. And we're delighted to be here. We're here every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m., and Iris is helping us out today, and we're very glad. And I'm Lori Hoyt, and this is the WILP wake-up call. So we're going to be talking about education. And we have Miriam and Anna, who are both on the NAACP Education Committee. And so they can talk about, we are planning a forum for Saturday, a community forum, the second one, and we're going to be talking about the forum, but also just about the struggle that the NAACP and some other community groups are working so hard for at least the last year, if not for years before, about racial equity in the schools. And that's what we're going to, the main topic we're going to be talking about today. And Miriam, Anna, welcome to the show. We're so glad that you could come.
Thanks so much for having us. We're happy to be here. Education, as you know, is a topic that really concerns everyone in the community and really impacts everyone in the community, whether or not you have a student in our Chapel Hill, Carrboro City School District or not. As you know, it influences who lives in our community, influences the economy in terms of how people are trained. And the real issue that we're dealing with is the disparity in terms of equitable performance between our students of color and other students in the district. So we're involved with an active campaign, which includes a number of organizations, including the NAACP. And as you mentioned, holding a second community forum on education. I'll start out by saying it's scheduled for this Saturday. And as we all know, we've got our scarves and gloves and hats on. It's getting cold and we're watching the weather. And likely at this point, we're weighing our alternatives. We want a good turnout. So we'll get the word out tomorrow officially if we move on to a different date. But right now we're trying to get those details ironed out. But we're working that and we'll get the word out. But right now the issue will remain the same whether we have the forum on Saturday. We will have it in the near future. And we hope that everyone, again, parents, students, concerned citizens, come out and join the conversation.
Okay, and Miriam?
Yeah, I just wondered if we could give, because it may not be time to get out an email, but maybe we can give either your number or mine so that people who are really interested in this important conversation, you can call 919-370-4114, and we'll keep repeating that through the hour. But I want to join Anna in saying this is a really important conversation with all stakeholders that care care about kids, that care about education, that care about their future, that care about the disparities in discipline and academic achievement, which has been going on long before Anne and I got here in North
We've been
Carolina
talking about the achievement gap.
For decades.
And at times this work has been done and there are improvements, but, you know, personnel in the schools change. There's always a turnover, and so you get some gains, but it's easy, very easy for them to slide back, and we've never gotten them where we want them to be. So it's important work, and I think the whole community, those of us who care, are saying it's time. It's time to really change the whole.
I just want to indicate, Anna, that and you can speak to this. Anna didn't mention, by the way, that she's also NAACP's chair of the Youth Council, which we should talk more about because they will be an important participant in the forum either this Saturday or if it's going to be rescheduled. I should also say, and then turn it back over to Anna, that this is a continuing series of conversations that people will engage not only in the forum, but we intend to really bring this conversation out into the community on a continuing basis. And I think there are two important documents that we can talk to, both of which we can link to on the WILF website. And Lori will give you the WILF website again. One is the recent document, the recent iteration of equity, namely the campaign for the campaign for racial equality. Excellence with equity is the schools our children deserve, which is really a wonderful title. We can post that link so you can see the report and the recommendations. And the other major document that we really sort of that helped drive our own document, we were responding to the long-range plan of the superintendent, who's now been superintendent for 5 years. And it's a really interesting document to see because it really helped inform the document.
Okay, let me ask you, is this document Excellence with Equity, is this the same document that was at the recent school board meeting last Thursday where we have some new members of the school board and the school board allowed, instead of us just making a five-minute presentation before their main agenda, made this the agenda. So there was time for a really thorough look at this document. It was a great PowerPoint presentation. So I'm so glad that we're going to be talking about that. It was very impressive. And the school board was very impressed, I think, and seemed very favorable to consider it. And they're having a retreat coming up in which they are going to look at it more exhaustively and make a response. So I just wanted to get that out there, that this is in motion.
Oh, yeah. We actually, the Campaign for Racial Equity, which includes parents, students, members of the community, the NAACP, began work on this document, on this report, over the summer. And it was informed by listening sessions. I will say that the school board received the report in whole in October, and that the Campaign for Racial Equity has been working for quite some time to have the work session that you attended last Thursday. We are grateful to the school board. We appreciate that opportunity to have the work session. But I do want to make sure you know that they did receive the report in whole and that they have had it for several months now. So we're continuing to work on it.
The school board or the administration?
The school board and the administration.
And both of them have had
received the report in October.
Okay. Yes.
Of course, this speaks to, you know, we're talking about Reverend Barber. This speaks to the importance of the vote. Because the real change, we think, or at least the reception to the document occurred when the new board members got on board in November. And then we saw things really, I think, escalate. So it just shows how important it was that people came out and vote, that there was really a new energy on the school board that took, I think, not that other board members did, but I think they added important energy to really looking at equity through mm-hmm. more robust lens.
Mm-hmm. So the new school board has not had as much time to really review it. So this is really good that as a whole, then with the new members and former members,
incumbents,
that they'll have their, when is their retreat, by the way, do you know? I don't know either.
I do. The report, their board retreat is February 8th. And to be clear, this will not be the only topic.
No, I'm sure.
At the retreat. The relevance for us is that we asked the board last Thursday to consider a dashboard so that, you know, what gets tracked gets done mm-hmm. in that vein. And also that the Campaign for Racial Equity have a seat at the table as the board authorizes the administration to develop a plan around equity. So those things will be considered at mm-hmm. the board retreat, and we'll look forward to working with the administration on the final plan for mm-hmm. the district. And we're hoping that that will be available prior to the end of this school year. So we're hoping that by May we would have a equity plan from the district that is informed not only by this report, but by a wide input from the community, and that there will be some kind of dashboard tracking performance to that plan so that it's not a plan without metrics and milestones along the way. So that's our goal.
And that that you're using the word tracking and metrics, it seems to me is that the school, I don't know how long they've been doing it, but it seems to me that under encouragement from community groups, that has become a more robust part of the school's reporting, that they keeping data on behavioral interventions and other things. Maybe you could talk some more about that so people know just more specifically what we're talking about.
Okay, before we do that, I do want to mention that our community forum has a number of co-sponsors that we're really proud that they're joining with us. So I'd just like to make sure that I mention
Let's do that.
Those names.
Because that shows how community-wide this is. It's not just the NAACP, although they've been taking a leadership role, but there are other important community groups.
Right. And one, I talked about the impact that the school system has on our entire community. So a first-time co-sponsor with us is the Chapel Hill Chamber of Commerce. And so we're excited to have them partner with us in this forum. They were not involved in the last forum, so we welcome them. Organizing Against Racism of Orange County is one of the co-sponsors, as well as our NAACP Youth Council, another youth-led organization called Movement of Youth. Mm-hmm. We also have the PTA Council of Chapel Hill, Carrboro City Schools.
Wonderful.
As well as the Special Needs Advocacy Advisory Council, SNAC. I call them SNAC so much you almost forget what the letters stand for. I knew there was an A in there. So
they do advocate for special
they
needs.
Do. They do. They do indeed. So that's a pretty broad base of the community, and we're really excited to have the diversity of sponsorship, and I think it just, again, underscores how important an issue education is to our community.
And I'm particularly delighted that we're talking about the youth. This is, you know, we're talking about principals, teachers, parents, but so important are the students. And so you mentioned two youth groups that are sponsoring this, and I'm hoping and thinking we'll be participating.
Oh, yeah.
So this is what will really make this impactful, not just a top-down thing, but a real broad community support, because it's community support that's going to make or break this.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
Absolutely. You mentioned discipline in our schools, mm-hmm. and so when we talk about equity, it's difference between discipline, how it's administered, how what percentage of students are expelled from school, and you can't learn if you're not in the seat. All of those things, there is a disparity, glaring disparities between how those things are impacting students of color versus other students mm-hmm. In the schools. And that is one segment of the report as well.
Which is really interesting when then you see when it's broken down, not just by race, but ages in schools. And so you can pinpoint where there's particular problem areas and where things are going better, I mean, which is also important.
I think Anna can, who has the entire report, we can lay out what some of the issues were. We mm-hmm. dealt with one of the most important working groups that I was part of was on curriculum mm-hmm. and teacher development and models, especially in we were looking at schools that are minority schools mm-hmm. and yet they're doing better in terms of the achievement gap and discipline process and intervention. And discipline is always focused on the child, and it doesn't really look at, which is what we were looking at through our listening sessions and research, it doesn't look at sort of the culture of the classroom mm-hmm. and how very often kids are estranged from, and the teachers are estranged from a lot of our kids. And so those kinds of important interventions or relationships aren't there. And so it's often the kid that bears the brunt of discipline. Mm-hmm. But in addition to discipline, Anna can identify where some of the other areas that we looked at, what mm-hmm. some of the listening, and then to read what some of the young people and even the teachers, never mind the parents, but young people and teachers, which was really of interest to me, who were in these small listening sessions and were commenting on what their lives were like in the school. And then after Anna, I'll just do a little bit around my favorite, which is curriculum development, youth leadership development, teacher professional development and support, because having all of us having gone to the Martin Luther King service on Martin Luther King Day and listened to Reginald Hildebrand and have revisited some of Martin Luther King's most powerful universal speeches, most specifically the ones we looked at in 1967 that Reginald Hildebrand quoted. But it just speaks to how not just one day, but every day, mm-hmm. that message needs to be really embedded in our curriculum. And that kind of courageous conversation around race is often missing mm-hmm. from our kids' education.
Mm-hmm. The report, I'll just say, is 87 pages. So clearly we can't do it justice
no.
in a few minutes. But I think one of the key aspects of the report is where the numbers coming from the district takes a look at racial inequities in a couple, in several areas. So one is in the grade. So they looked at state standardized test scores.
Mm-hmm.
Another was end of course. So, you know, at the end of the course, you take a test in terms for high school students in terms of proficiency mm-hmm. and actually learning the material. Access to gifted education was another area that was looked at. ACT test results, discipline, which we talked about earlier.
What is ACT?
So ACT is a college entrance exam
okay.
Test.
Okay.
And is an indicator of preparedness mm-hmm. for college. Most colleges have a certain score they require in order to be able to enter mm-hmm. their college or university. Discipline, we already talked about,
mm-hmm.
and graduation rates.
Mm-hmm.
So those were kind of the broad areas that the report looked at. And across all those areas, there was significant disparity between our minority students and white students in the mm-hmm. district. And so, for instance, I'll just pull one out. If we look at college career ready, so that says that you've met the requirements, of white students, 85% at graduation would meet that criteria. For eight African-American students, 32%. So those are the kind of numbers we're talking about. Latino students, 38%, and low-income students, 30%. So we're talking 60-plus percent difference in terms of outcomes. And when you consider that the district has been working on this for 50 years, mm-hmm. since the schools were integrated in mm-hmm. Chapel Hill, there has been a discrepancy and a disparity. And the question that is raised by this report and by the community is really, if you continually are doing these programs that are geared to the student. So mm-hmm. in most cases, the programs, it looks at what's wrong with these students, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't look at what's wrong with the system
mm-hmm.
that so many, if we were talking 10% difference,
mm-hmm.
but we're talking in across the board 60-plus percent difference. That's significant.
And what was that analogy that...
I love the analogy. You're my straight man here. I love the analogy because it's so graphic, and I think it helps
to understand
what we're saying. So you're going down the road, and you see a lake, and you see a fish, and the fish is belly up, and you say, what happened to that fish? You know, did something bite it? Did it eat something it wasn't supposed to eat? Did it get hit on the head with a rock? You know, what poor fish, you know, is out there in the middle of this lake belly up. So you examine that fish and you try to figure out what's going on with the fish. But if you go by lake and the lake is 60% covered with fish, just end to end, maybe it's the
belly
lake.
Up. Yeah.
Maybe it's the lake. Maybe it's the lake. And so that's an analogy that actually was I heard for the first time at our first community forum, which was held back in September.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. I wanted to get that across. We already had one powerful community forum, and this is going to be the second one.
This is the second one. And I will say about this one, we had great presentations. That analogy came out in the first one. We had a presentation that really examined some of the underlying factors involved, but what we didn't get to in that forum, which was on the agenda but we ran short of time, was the listening sessions for the attendees.
Mm-hmm.
So a big focus for this second, in fact the majority of the time at this second forum, is really listening to the community. What is your view? What is your experience with the school district? And what would you suggest? What do you think? Because even though we had a broad-based coalition in developing this report, it's really important to broaden that mm-hmm. circle of input. And so we're really inviting members of the community to come. We're going to give a brief overview of what's gone on to date, because we are 9 months into this particular campaign, as you mentioned, and we've all alluded to. This is something that's been going on for a long time, but this particular campaign, so we're going to bring people up to date on what's happened so far, kind of concluding with the board meeting you talked about last Thursday. little bit about the report. There will be an executive summary of the report available for everyone who attends. So not 87 pages, but about 3 pages of executive summary will be handed out. And then a link to the full report. So anybody who wants the full report can get it. And it actually is available now to anyone who'd be interested. And we'll leave that information before we leave. But then we, after the overview, we break out into groups. And we have 3 questions that we'll be asking each group. And really coming back together so that everyone, you know, hears the themes that come out of those discussion groups. And then that will be a part of the campaign going forward. So, again, it's a great opportunity to share your experience and also your ideas about what can be done to close the gap and improve the outcomes for all students. Again, the title of the report was Excellence with Equity, the Schools Our Children Deserve. And I think this the schools that we think we have here in Chapel Hill, we want the input of a broader base. So everyone is welcome.
And I want to let our listeners remind, we're talking to Miriam Thompson and Anna Richards, who have been working with the NAACP Education Committee and with these other community groups on excellence with equity and how to get the schools we deserve. And I'm Lori Hoyt, and Iris Switzer is manning the board or womaning the board. And we still have time before our station break. Okay, so this is really such important stuff. This is, you know, and so many people have been working so hard, and it's so impressive to see even this report, the amount of work and how interesting it is. It's 87 pages, but it's really interesting. There's just so much data that the schools are now pulling together under support and encouragement from the community that I think we didn't quite realize before.
I want to make sure, though, that people, listeners, do a couple of things. One, keep in mind that to the telephone number we gave, 909-370-4114. That's my number. Just I'll have a hotline to make sure that people know when, if we have to reschedule from Saturday and we get snow, where people can really hook in and so they join us.
And usually WCHL tells all the closings, so that would be important. If unfortunately this does have to happen, then the other thing people can check in, and maybe with this radio station too, I'm not sure, but WCHL does an excellent job.
We'll send word to WCHL. Of course, it's a Saturday, but they do give other closings. I also think it's important that it's Triangle Wilf. Do I have that address?
Yeah.
TriangleWilf.org, O-R-G, because we can post the recommendations, the executive summary that Anna was talking about, where people can actually see that on our website and link to the longer report. But you can easily get the report and just look at the executive summary, which is really
And WILF is a shorthand for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom,
yes, but
affectionately known as WILF.
Right, but so the actual website is
the actual website, WILPF. Get the P in there for peace.
Yeah. WILPF.org, WILPF.org.
Yes.
And I also think it would be wonderful not only for people to join us and participate in the conversation, but many people who listen to the show are parents and grandparents and neighbors and you know, active in the community. So I think other people's stories to participate, as Anna suggested, in these listening sessions, because the summer of listening sessions, we're going to really keep doing it. And I think that term Anna used, broadening and deepening this conversation, and we're not going away. I mean, what we really want to make clear is that the only way the district will change if people remain engaged. And I think the board needs support. They're really very supportive of this document. And more important than just the document is the whole campaign to bring equity in the schools. Mm-hmm. And you cannot have, as we were saying, you can't have equity without good instruction, and you can't have good instruction without equity. So the two of them together, our superintendent stresses a lot on instruction, mm-hmm. and we argue that instruction is really moved by a whole cultural change in equity.
We're now going to take a station break.
This is Wilt's Wake Up Call on WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carver, underwritten by the Internationalist Bookstore, located at 101 Lloyd Street in Carver. You can stream us live at wcom.org.
And this is WCOM, LPFM, and we're your community radio station, and we are so honored to be able to have this show here every Wednesday. There's so many wonderful programs on this community radio station, so we always got to make sure we get a little plug in for this radio station. Okay, we're going to come back, and I think, Anna, you had mentioned that you had some quotes or excerpts from some things that some parents and some students have said. So I think that we're talking about policies and procedures, but it always, when you put the heart to it, what some people are feeling and sharing, that would be so good if we can do that. I'm not sure. And again, our guests are Miriam Thompson from WILF and Anna Richards from the NAACP.
The theme, we're going to share these.
I can share this too.
Okay. These are the themes that predominated across all the listening sessions. One is that racial stereotyping plays a role in lowered academic expectations, fewer advanced academic and other non-academic opportunities, disproportionately harsh discipline, which we mentioned earlier, for students of color. And this isn't just suspensions and, you know, exclusion. This is, you know, kids who are often sent down to the principal's office. These are kids who are, their peers see them disciplined in the classroom. So the other is history of racial advantage and disadvantage that continues today, exemplified by resource access and power differentials between white families, staff, faculty, and students, and those of color, particularly African Americans.
Okay, so I guess in school segregation, which was interesting to me, we have a number of comments like you can look in a classroom and know if it's an advanced class or not because there are no people of color in the class. The African American, Latino, and immigrant parents experience inadequate and disrespectful treatment from schools, and white parents seen as having inordinate power to shape priorities of the schools. So we heard from lots of parents that, you know, they almost hate to walk into the building because they have not been welcome and don't feel that their issues are going to be heard properly. Curriculum and instructional issues regarding racial history and diverse cultural norms. One of the things that I did mention at the beginning is the flag incident that happened in our school district last year was really one of the impetus for the community coming together that led to this report, because that really speaks to the culture in our schools and the culture in our administration and, you know, our families in the district. This was before South Carolina's incident with the flag. A group of students from Chapel Hill High School were on a school trip, So this was
Chapel East.
East Chapel Hill.
East Chapel Hill.
Official school trip. Posed with a Confederate flag and posted it on school social media. Do you want to add?
It was a Gettysburg. It was a Gettysburg trip, but it was not only the Confederate flag, but they actually had themselves posing with a slave,
mm-hmm.
you know, as if they were buying a slave. I mean, it was really horrific.
So students of color were upset about this, as you can well imagine, the response from the district and from the administration, which I'll just say did not show cultural sensitivity. How about that?
It was disappointing at best.
It was disappointing at best. But I think that the response to that, there was a press conference that occurred after that. I think that incident was a glaring one, and if there is a silver lining to that incident, I really believe that the community coming together and this report and the progress, I'll say, or the promise of progress that we have in working with our school board toward really changing outcomes. It doesn't matter how much you're spending on programs, if the outcomes are not there, then we need to figure out just something different.
I think it's important to note that it was not just the school, because it was the disappointment that they felt the school leadership, you know, that first of all, the young people should have apologized. So part of the pushback from really having this conversation and the implications didn't come so much from the teachers, who it was, thought could have done better preparation and orientation. It was after the event that there wasn't the kind of conversation as to how harmful it was. Mm-hmm. And part of it, I have to say, was really rested with the white parents of these students, that they were... there was some pushback. So part of the issue of changing the culture of schools is obviously better training and more sensitivity training. Teachers, we have a fairly significant turnover of teachers. So we're getting younger teachers coming in, all the time. But the turnover is really serious. And the training has never been great enough. Mm-hmm. And so the issue, we have a very strong director now of professional development, Rydell Harrison, who really is steeped less in consultants than in really institutionalizing ongoing professional development and listening to teachers as to what they need. So we got interesting reports from teachers themselves who thought that the way in which the incident that Anna's talking about was really not handled properly, either by parents or the school leadership at the district level and, at the school level. But I think the district really got the message. And then, the report deepened, I think, that conversation and debate between, and I'd be honest, I think it was debate between, the community and all the stakeholders and district leadership. I think that conversation has been tense at times, but I think it's been a very important conversation.
And I think that the analogy about the fish and this story brings up one of the big points that was made in the presentation last Thursday, which is no matter what a kind of training you do, there is a culture. And there's a culture, that has been going on for a long time. You can't just look at the schools, that this is a country that is only relatively recently, historically speaking, ended slavery. And we went from slavery to the Jim Crow era, which it took the power of the civil rights movement to change that. So this is not so much the past. The past is still here. And so that culture affects all of us. And the best way to handle it is the more we can become conscious of it. And that's what school is about, learning and understanding that history and that consciousness. And I think that was one of the big points I took away from that presentation, was for us all to be aware of this culture that's affecting the school, that's in our country. We're still struggling with it in with many institutions, and the school is an important institution where the school is what we look to for change. And so that, I just wanted to get that in.
I want to mention the school for change, because I have always, and that's why the curriculum to me is really so critical, because it seems to me, and we discussed this, what do we want to have happen to our kids when they leave our schools? We want them to be change agents, to be social justice advocates, whether it's their family or their neighborhood or their community or the nation. And all we have to do, and you know, I know my grandchildren listen to the debates with my daughter, and all you have to hear is some of the hate mongering and racial profile in some of the debates and among some of the political leaders. So we need to really reshape our whole society and end this kind of ongoing racialized culture. I wanted to mention a conversation, another listening session we went to. It's called the Multicultural Student, MSAM, a group of students, mostly high school students, some middle, but mostly high school. And the thing that struck me so deeply is how earnestly they want to have these, what I called earlier, it's not my term, someone else's, courageous conversations. The kids want it. And the most striking thing they said was they often feel, teachers feel intimidated about having these conversations. And I think teachers said that in some of the listening sessions. They're afraid of retaliation. They're afraid of pushback, either from not getting enough support from the district or afraid of pushback from predominantly white parents. And I thought that was really striking. So we need to be there in the schools, giving support to our school leaders. It's not just the district, it's in the school. And there really are teachers. You know, we said this. We're not making a blanket statement about the schools. There really are important initiative and pockets of teachers who want to teach this kind of conversation. I ask my grandson all the time, did you study Martin Luther King? Did you study his incredible 1967 speech at Riverside Church, or his speech in London that was just aired on Democracy Now just before he won the Nobel Peace Prize? I mean, these were incredible stories that he told of universal importance. I said, did you happen to discuss that in your high school before Martin Luther King? And, you know, I mean, not even the 1963 speech that, you know, everybody saw favors, because it really doesn't, it's a great speech, but it got greater as it went on in the 60s before he was assassinated. Mm-hmm. And the answer is no. So we have really a lot of work to do to support our school professionals and parents, and especially our young people, to have these kind of conversations.
So the thing that I would add is, so we gave you a little bit of a flavor from the listening sessions. One of the other things that was done to inform the report was we looked at districts who are doing better. So we did some benchmarking, both with in the district, outside the district, so districts that are have gotten better outcomes, and also within the district, there are some individual schools who are working hard to create a different climate. And so those results are also included in the results. And I think that there were some, you know, we tried to find schools that had kind of similar characteristics. And the thing that stood out, that in each of the schools that had better outcomes, the improvements required structural changes. So it was changes to staffing, time, and how the school was organized, what was taught, And these changes have required new approaches. So it was, again, not doing the same thing that we've always done, expecting a different result. And so I think that was one of the other things that we learned as we did the benchmarking. But key to that was accountability and leadership. And so one of the goals and one of the driving forces, we had a district that we looked at in Maryland that had tremendous results, predominantly minority population. And what we found is that when the leadership changed and the emphasis came off and some of the structural changes no longer were in place, you saw the decline go down. People were not being held accountable. And so this issue of leadership and accountability was one consistent theme across all districts where the outcomes were better.
So that was like sort of an ad hoc almost experiment.
Yeah, thank you. That was sort of an unplanned sort of an experiment to see that by doing these things, it did get better. And as that eased up or there was a change in personnel, it started sliding right back down again. But before our time is up, I wanted to you talked about the parents and that flag incident and how some of the parents, you know, parents will defend their kids, and sometimes in defending their kid or maybe losing sight of a little bit bigger picture. And you, the PTA council is one of the supporters of this. And I just wondered, are those councils, are they going to be doing any sort of education for parents, any getting these courageous conversations about race? Is any of that being planned with the PTA, or am I a little ahead of things here?
Well, not to my knowledge, through the council at least, but I one of the points that was made on Thursday is going to the racial equity training, for instance, alone, without coming back to the building, having conversations among teachers, parents, students who've attended the training, then looking at the school and saying, okay, now that we have this little window, because that's all the training is, right, is a little window to maybe there's something here. What should we do differently now that we have this knowledge? And so, unfortunately, people go to training. It's not holy water or something, you know, you just don't come out and you're a new creature, right? So you go, you get a window into some, I mean, it's a beginning of a education. The point about our country's history, if our country's 400 years old since Jamestown, it's only been in the last 50 years that the schools have been desegregated. So you have systems, institutions, our country's economic system built on a premise of white superiority and a slave class that was by definition inferior and prevented from access to higher learning, employment, housing. So if you just think about 400 years, you got 350 years of a mindset, and not just a mindset, but institutions built to preserve. And even after, you know, emancipation, the laws of Jim Crow put in place to make sure that the economic system was maintained. So I think, you know, that alone says you're not going to overcome all that in 50 years, because it's built into the fabric of our nation. It is how the nation was built to operate, to create the American dream. And so I just think that it does take more than just going to one training or a couple hours of training and come out and think that, you know, that's going to change that system and the education system in particular, it's going to take some very direct understanding of how we got here. You can't come up with a solution that doesn't take that racial history into account.
And as you mentioned earlier, and I think both of you did, Jim Crow persists. You know, it's 50 years since integration. Many of our schools are becoming resegregated. We see what's happening with mass incarceration. So we have an ongoing struggle, which is why I said this is how important it is to have these courageous conversations in schools so our young people feel they're being listened to, that their experiences are being honored, and that they have a role to play, I think, in really changing. I think it's important also to mention that it's what Anna said is so critical, that just to go, we've had racial equity training in this district for a long time, well before I got here. A half a day or 2 days opens a window. I think that was your term. But it has to be really institutionalized in the schools. And you asked a good question about the district PTAs. I think we really have some very good and thoughtful PTA presidents. That's why they really jumped on board, including SNAC. We didn't mention the, you know, how important it is to look at special needs kids and how they are being treated in the schools. And that's why particularly the district PTA council, I think, jumped to really help us to want to co-sponsor the event. So I think that's part of our effort to continue the conversation, to reach out to the schools, to talk to the parent associations, to talk to different parent groups, not just those in schools, but those, you know, in housing projects in different housing communities, in churches. That we really want to bring the churches into this conversation. Many of the church leaders want to be part of the conversation. So I think it's really important. And the schools themselves, which the board has to monitor, you know, how are the equity to each school is supposed to have an equity team. And that was supposed to help with professional development. And so we want to see how they're working, how they've really influenced, what are the outcomes.
How to improve them. I want to just again remind our listeners, because I've been given feedback that I don't do this enough, to mention that our guests are Miriam Thompson and Anna Richards, and I'm Lori Hoyt, and we have ears at the board, and we're talking about racial equity in the schools, which is a huge topic, and this has been the impetus for our guest tonight is a proposed forum that we're still hoping perhaps to have on Saturday. We're keeping an eye out and an ear out about the weather reports, but this has been planned for this Saturday at the United Church of Chapel Hill on Martin Luther King Boulevard from 1 to 4 in the afternoon, and we'll see what happens with the weather, and if the worst happens and we have to postpone it, we'll reschedule as quickly as we can. We'll keep you informed. We'll announce it on this show, and I'm sure there'll be articles, announcements in the paper. So since we're not sure, please, you can either call Miriam at 919-370-4114, or you can listen to WCHL. They'll post any cancellations, and they're really good about that. So there's a couple of ways to find out about that. And I almost forgot to mention that the winter session for the state NAACP, which was scheduled for this Saturday, due to the weather, has been canceled. And so anybody who is planning on going to that, you need to know that that is definite. That's not waiting to see. They felt confident enough about the weather reports that they have canceled that. So stay tuned to the NAACP, the state website, to see when that's rescheduled. Because what's really sad, they were going to honor Mickey Michaud, who is a state or a House of Representatives, but he's been around for a long time doing great stuff for this state and the nation, and he was going to be honored that night. So I'm sure that that will also be rescheduled to honor him. Okay, so I just wanted to be sure we got that in. So
I don't have the I don't know if you do. I realize there's another place that people should really hook into.
Okay.
If you look up the NAACP, Chapel Hill Carrboro branch of the NAACP, we will make sure when we have a date or a rescheduled date, if we have to reschedule, mm-hmm. that in addition to calling my number, and I'll have something on my message machine, you can also check in with the NAACP. And Wilf are very strong supporters of NAA. So.
And will this report be on the NAACP?
It's on the website now.
It is on the website. So what? Yeah. What is that? What is the NAACP
website? If you look up Chapel Hill Carrboro, Google Chapel Hill Carrboro branch NAACP, you should be able to find their website. I'm sorry, I don't have it handy unless Anna does.
Anna's looking it up right now.
This is posted, and it will be posted. We'll make a link on the Wilf website.
Because all of us, whether we plan to go to the forum or not, that means five more minutes. That's the same.
Thank you.
Whether we plan to go to the forum or not, all of us should look that up and familiarize ourselves with it, because that is a document that all that we've been talking about lays it out, and you can take your time and think about it and contemplate and mull
it's
it
worthy
up.
Of study.
Yeah,
and it's worthy
study
of
it.
Input. No, I just want to quote Anna again. This is. We're trying to really broaden and deepen the conversation. So the more people read it and have ideas, and that's going to be the focus of the forum whenever it's scheduled, is really listening to people and what their experiences and recommendations are as to how we can improve the lives of our kids.
Because this whole issue of racial equity, this is the schools, but it's the whole community. I mean, we're talking about our police. We're talking about, you know, voting. We're talking about so many things, and this is something that I can see this being a whole community conversation. This could be a rallying point. It really, I hope, will deepen and grow and get people talking in street corners, talking in restaurants. You read that, Anna.
Okay.
Oh, yay.
So our website is Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP, one word.
A big long word.
A big long word dot WordPress.
Okay.
Yay.
So that's another place besides the Wilf website to
Thank
get
you,
to review
Would
and
you
study.
Repeat that again? Oops.
Chapel Hill Carrboro.
NAACP.
At
WordPress.
At WordPress.
I just took it off my.
Oh, sorry.
We're close.
dot WordPress.com.
Right. By the way, another interesting thing that, having come from New York, and this was always something that I was so profoundly outraged by. We mentioned earlier the access. Anna mentioned earlier in reading the listening session the access to the gifted classes and the advanced classes. And you go in, if you want to see segregation at work, go and see some of the gifted class, when in fact every child is gifted and every child should be recognized as having a gift. But you go into some of these advanced classes, and as Anna said earlier, they're almost exclusively white, and the same thing often happens with gifted as well.
And I know you don't have any direct quotes, but I have heard from some kids that they have not been encouraged, even if they are academically would be able to, you know, their marks would be eligible to be in it, but they have not been encouraged, and sometimes they're actively discouraged. Oh, that may be too hard, you know. And I think that's again part of that culture, part of the expectations that we have of children for their success. And some of it is not done deliberately to be mean. It's we're talking about this implicit bias that it's hard for all of us to recognize in ourselves. We may recognize it in somebody else, but it's hard to look into our own heart and consciousness. So that is just such an important thing for us all to be thinking about.
And don't wait
about.
For them to enter high school. This kind of identification, nurturing has to begin in pre-K and K.
Yeah.
And so on.
Yes. Well, I just want to thank Miriam Thompson, Wilf's sister and NAACP member, and Anna Richards, NAACP. And I want to mention again, Anna, you worked real hard on this youth council.
Oh, yes. Please. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't say that we do have a NAACP youth council. It is open to all under the age of 23 in Orange County. Our charter covers Chapel Hill and North Orange, so we're going to work together so that we have an Orange County NAACP Youth Council. We meet the second Saturday of the month at 4 p.m. at Hargraves Community Center. Now, in February, the second Saturday is HK on J, and we will be going to the march, and we are encouraging young people to experience and become part of history. This is the 10th anniversary of HK on J. We have a special bus ticket price for youth,